Welcome to this podcast that supports the ACCA, Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, Optus Macquarie University's Cybersecurity Hub, and their sponsor Optus's joint report, Cyber and the CFO. My name is Clive Webb, and I'm a Senior Insights Manager within ACCA's Professional Insights team and one of the report authors. In this first of the three podcasts connected to the report, I'll be joined by three more of the report authors to explore some of the key themes. They are Geraldine Maguire of Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, Philomena Leon and Christoph Dosch, both of Optus Macquarie University's Cybersecurity Hub. To start the podcast and to place the issue in context, I asked Geraldine to explain, in her view, why the finance community should be interested in cybersecurity issues.
So it's really important that the CFO and the finance leadership are interested in cyber risk. Main reason being that this is a business risk. It's a real business issue that impacts the whole business, and they really need to be taking responsibility and not outsourcing it or seeing it as just an IT issue. So that business risk, which impacts the entire business, is really important for them to really make sure that it's being driven by the top leadership of the organisation.
So cyber risk can be complex and varied. In our report, we explain many of the key threats that organisations encounter. I asked Christoph to provide an overview of some of these for us. He began, however, by placing the overall cyber threat into context.
I guess, first of all, I think it's important to reinforce the idea that the risk is real. The threat is very real, and also the risk is very high. The saying in the industry is that there are only two types of organization, those which have been breached and the organization which don't know they have been breached. So that shows you the extent of the problem. Most organizations don't realize that. And in fact, what we hear very often is that, we are not a bank, we are fine, we are not a target of cyber criminals. And that's a big mistake, because everybody should be aware of those risks.
So Christoph, continue to explain some of those key risks in a bit more detail.
In terms of the risk themselves, security is a chain, as we keep saying, and you are only as secure as your weakest link, and very often people are the weakest link. And so the kind of threats that people and organizations need to be aware of is, for instance, social engineering. So the art of extracting data that can seem completely harmless, but that can lead to more sophisticated attacks. So for instance, crafting an email, a phishing email that's going to fool the recipient of the email and that's going to be used to plant malware. In terms of malware, you can think of ransomware. That's a very popular form of risk for an organization, where the data is actually encrypted, and then you need to pay a ransom to get it back. We have seen also very recently another form of malware that is called cryptojacking, where criminals try to get access to the computational power of someone's personal computer or an organization to mine cryptocurrencies. Another type of risk that should be very high on people's mind is also third-party risks. So especially for the most mature organization, a breach may come from a supplier. And so it's very important to make sure that not only you are secure, but you are dealing with organization with a high standards when it comes to security.
So before asking Christoph to consider privacy risks, I thought we should bring a few thoughts from Philomena regarding the importance of supply chain to cybersecurity in today's world.
One of the things which I thought is important is that it is increasingly so that many companies are now looking at starting off as a manufacturing or primary service companies, now moving into just servicing companies, whereby they would more be importing and exporting. The reason why I'm saying that is organizations have to be very interested and very keen on making sure not just within their organization having a proper cybersecurity or information security framework, but also that being extended to its supply chain. The supply chain for any kind of production will be very well connected or very closely connected to the companies which originally were doing the primary production. And now the supply chain has to be affected because it has its system, its perhaps its recording infrastructure, and its way of maintaining integrity.
So that was Philomena. Let's return to Christoph to pick up the thread by considering privacy risks.
One of the last few risks which have been identified very recently are privacy risks. Organizations tend to share data, either publicly or with other organizations, and they do that by using poorly anonymized data sets. So that's a form of risk that has been an issue very recently. Lots of organizations have experienced, have made the headlines for the wrong reasons because they share data in a way that is not secure. So let's go back to privacy risks, where organizations share data publicly, but they don't necessarily do the right thing when sharing the data. So they are using, for instance, techniques which are not appropriate to anonymize the data set, and therefore they can be the subject of different types of attacks. So that's something that we've seen recently in the news.
So we all hear about denial of service attacks. I asked Christoph to provide an overview of these for us.
And the last risk we can think of, which is a very common risk as well, is distributed denial of services attack, where criminals use resources around the world to target a particular website and to prevent clients to access this website. Usually they can do that for the purpose of asking a ransom, but they can also be motivated by political or other reasons. So if an organization makes most of its revenue by online interaction with its clients, that's a risk that must be very high on their mind.
For many organizations, the challenge is not if they've been subject to a cyber attack, but whether they know they have and whether they've actually acted on it. Here's Geraldine again.
So it's really important for the finance team to be very proactive. And really, the key is around cyber resilience. This is not something, cyber risk is not something that happens to just to certain organizations or just to big organizations. It can happen to every single type of organization, regardless of size. And it's really a matter of if, not It's really a matter of when, not if, that happening to you. So it's really important that the finance team has make sure that their organization has that cyber resilience. And from that, I mean, basically, going through a four-step process, which we talk about in the paper. So around, managing and protecting your assets, identifying what are the key assets in your organization. And as we know, in this day and age, it's not all about those physical assets that we often think about. It's those other assets like, data, like customer lists, that are really important, and they need to, identify where they are, make sure that they are protected. They need to make sure they've got a whole plan if something does happen about how they respond, how they recover as well, which is really important. The quicker they can get back into business and get things ticking over again. And also just making sure that they've got the right governance structures in place. And that's why I'm saying the board has an important role as well to play in making sure that they've got that, that cyber governance. So really, just the key is around resilience, having a plan, knowing, practicing that plan and having a run through so you know what needs to be done if something does happen.
One of the challenges for the finance team that our report highlights is not just the nature of the risk, but how that risk continues to evolve. I asked Christoph to consider what new risks people should be aware of in this area.
We have a non-exhaustive list of risks, But in fact, these are the risks that we are aware of. There are also lots of risks that we are not fully aware of, but we can see in which direction criminals are taking this. And the nature of the threat is evolving very rapidly. In fact, criminals are incredibly creative in the way they take advantage of existing new systems and protocols. And we have seen that again, over and over and again in the last couple of years. So for instance, the Dolphin attack, 2017, that's a way of accessing a smartphone or another device, such as, for instance, Siri or Alexa, by using ultrasonic comments. So something that, you know, we would not think of, but that's something that criminals had on their mind. We've seen very recently researchers showing how you can turn a hard disk into a listening device. This was at the beginning of 2019. Also Spectre and Meltdown in 2018. These were vulnerabilities found in CPUs, so in the chip of a computer. And that was kind of a shock for the community, because before that, we thought that vulnerabilities only existed in networks, in systems, in softwares, but not in hardware. So there are pretty much new vulnerabilities that are discovered almost on a daily basis. And there are a few things which make things worse. For instance, the fact that the frontier between the inside of an organization and the outside is not as clear as it used to be. So you have an increased attack surface, people using mobile phones, people using devices. This is going to get a lot worse with IoT, Internet of Things devices. It's expected that 50 billion devices will be connected in the next few years to the internet. And these devices usually have very poor security, which means that they can be the target of an attack, and they can be used to leak data or all sorts of things that criminals may do with these devices that we may not be aware of at the moment.
One of the areas I discussed with Christoph was how artificial intelligence might impact the cyber threat.
Artificial intelligence is used at the moment in pretty much all sectors of industry. And this is going to be used as well by criminals. So they are already using artificial intelligence to automate attacks in order to full protection systems. That's, for instance, something that we see with automated phishing emails, which are sent to customers. More creative use of artificial intelligence will probably involve things like what we call adversarial machine learning. So adversarial machine learning is not attacking the algorithm itself that's making the decision. It's attacking the data set that is used to train the algorithm. And so it's a very clever way to influence the outcome of the decision made by a machine without attacking the machine itself, and therefore doing that in a very stealthy way.
So as finance professionals, we have a responsibility to ensure that we keep ourselves informed about the nature of the cyber risk and how it's changing.
So it's really important that CFOs, the finance team, really do keep up to date with this area all around cyber risk. It's constantly evolving, it's constantly changing, you know, the types of risks, the types of threats, the types of actors who are actually perpetrating. So it's really important to keep up to date with it. It's not a set and forget type of thing. So I would highly encourage you to read the paper. There's a lot of really good information in there around, you know, what sorts of risks, how to manage them, and sort of the things that you need to think about when you're thinking about cyber resilience. And I'd also really encourage you to, you know, look to your professional body, because there is quite a lot of information. There are, you know, webinars and all sorts of CPD that is available to help you keep up to date and just make sure you do keep on top of it. It's not, as I said, not something to set and forget, to make sure that you're regularly reviewing cyber risk and regularly making sure that your information and where you're at is up to date.
To conclude our podcast, I ask each of our contributors in turn to leave you with one key message, starting with Philomena.
Right. I think cybersecurity is definitely not a technical issue only. It has to be a wholesale redevelopment of the mindsets of organizations and entities, businesses and universities and schools. educating these educating all individuals have to be coming from the top, and that it has to be real, it has to be constant and regular, and that cybersecurity has to go not beyond the existing organizational boundary. It has to go outside that boundary to all the stakeholders that we deal with, including our supply chain, our service providers as such. So it is actually something that is definitely urgently needed before we can actually be feel safe in order to ensure that the information are secured, that our transactional details are secured.
So to me, the key point for CFOs and for finance teams is that you really do have an important role to play in managing cyber risk. It's a whole of business business issue. It's something you really need to be part of. And you also really need to make sure that you've got a plan and that you've got that cyber resilience. As I said, it's really a matter of when, not if, it happens to your organization.
I guess my main message would be, when assessing cyber risk, is to try to move as much as possible to a quantified approach of assessing cyber risk. So at the moment, the approach is very much qualitative. So the use of cyber risk matrices or heat maps is very common. To truly make a difference in this field, I think it's important that we move to a more scientific and a more quantified approach. And there are a few initiatives in this field. So for instance, the FAIR framework. FAIR stands for Factor Analysis of Information Risk. So that's an initiative that is getting a lot of traction. And that's something that can help organizations to move from qualitative to quantitative approach, which in turn can be used to monitor how investment is made and how this impacts the security posture of an organization. So that's a very important tool to actually improve the resilience of an organization.
Thank you for listening. You can download the full report from the ACCA and CAANZ websites. I hope you've enjoyed this, the first of our series of three podcasts in this subject.